pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always.
Yeah, great to be here. Want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. That's go to Bigfoot's blog. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And hello to Decky. You get to Mama Mia for being in the chat room first. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue. Hope you're doing well. We are going to have a little bit of technical difficulties with regards to the chat room. I think only Al has got access to it, so... I do want to say, give Mama Mia a shout out to Bigfoot and to Sue. So, what a weekend! Weekend of sports. The couple of big events. One was the PGA, and the other was NASCAR. But first, at the PGA, this past weekend, it was held at the famed Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles. And what a course that is! Tiger Woods was the host of the Genesis Invitational. And boy, was it a great tourney, including Tiger Woods teeing up for the first time this year and making the cut right on the button at one over par. I believe he ended up the weekend with, I think he shot a 200 total, was able to walk the course a little bit demanding, and he hit some bombs. After Thursday's opening round, we saw America's Max Homa rise to the top and Spain's Jon Rahm lingering near the top as well. Friday, the same. Rahm closed within a one shot of a lead. And then after Saturday's round, Jon Rahm was in the lead with two shots over Max Homa and Keith Mitchell. And then at the end of Sunday's round, I don't know if you watched it, Al, but Max Homa remained two shots back of Jon Rahm, who captured his 10th PGA Tour victory. Rahm played beautifully, not even flustered when he dropped into a tie with Homa. But on a 14th hole yesterday, Rahm drained a bomb from like 45 feet to take a one-shot lead, and he never looked back for the remaining four holes. And I'll tell you, Rahm showed how to win with a lead going into Sunday's final round, and it was impressive, and Rahm should be proud of his victory. And, of course, with regards to that victory, it catapulted him back into the number one ranked player in the world overtaking Scottie Scheffler, who captured that spot just last week. So a little bit of a change at the top of the leaderboard or the world rankings, and it was really cool to watch. Great tournament.
Oh, it was a fantastic tournament. Rahm played like the champion that he is. And then there's also another side of this, too, on the money side, that just has to be talked about. Now, the purse for this event was $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Rahm's take was $3.6 million, and second, Homa's was $2.18 million, and third, Cantley with $1.38 million. So the question – I'm sorry, it was $20 million, not 12. Oh, my mistake. That's a big – oh, that's right. 2022, the purse was $12 million, and this year it was $20 million. Now – yeah. What could possibly have caused that $8 million increase in the purse? That's humongous.
Eliminating it, one tournament, let's say eliminating the three tournaments going into the fall schedule, repositioning the pot because the PGA Tour has five tours that they subsidize, including the PGA Tour. So by eliminating several tournaments, and then going back to a traditional schedule where you end after the Atlanta tournament, the Federal Express, and then go, you eliminate 2 months worth of play. That's probably six tournaments. So we're able to reposition the pot purse, because obviously with the Saudi Arabians investing $1 billion, not having any other liabilities to worry about, the PGA had a reposition. So good for the PGA. They did what was right. We'll get less golf at the end of the year. But you know what? We'll go back to the traditional way of golf.
Well, scheduling. Some people see it that way. I see it a little different. I see good old American competition in play and in force on the PGA. The PGA had to compete with the LIV, whatever you might think of them, but only after the LIV forced, I believe, the purses to go up, not only in this tournament, but four or five others, so they could compete. And all of a sudden, the PGA found the money. They found the money for these players.
Found the money, and they also eliminated six tournaments, which also hurts the guys that are trying to make it on tour. So, you know what? The greed of the Saudis,
With the PGA cutting the number of tournaments is on them. They could have easily found the money to do that as well. But be that as it may, I just thought it was interesting. I just thought it was interesting how competition is good. I like it.
So congratulations to John Rahm for taking over the number one spot,
yes.
And Scotty Scheffler drops to number two. So next week they're in Florida. They kick off the Florida East Coast swing. It'll be at the Honda Classic. I think they which includes Bay Hill, Players Tournament, and then they have three or four, and then they go to the Masters in April. So should be
I didn't get my invitation to play. Did you? Or
no,
oh, you
I
had
didn't.
A conflict. That's right.
Had
you had a conflict. Well, hey, did you watch any of the Chubb? Did you watch any of the Chubb Classic for the Championship Tour?
I did. I watched a little of it. And I saw Bernard Langer, man,
65-year-old. Yes, he tied Hale Irwin for the number of PGA wins in the Championship Tour. I believe it was 45. And that was a big event, and Bernard Langer, and you know what he did? He's such a classy guy. He read a Bible verse, and he was talking about his family and religion. He's a very strong Christian, and he read a Bible verse, very humbling, and it was actually a unique and refreshing thing to hear from a professional athlete. And so kudos to Bernard Langer at 65-year-old, like you said, playing golf like that, drivers off the deck, beautiful, fun to watch.
Yeah, man, that guy, he shot one below his age on Saturday. He shot a 64 on Saturday. And they were playing in Naples, Florida, I believe, at the Chubb Classic. So, you know what? Congratulations, man. He's a classic. He's always been religious. It's one thing this guy has never changed. So they can say all they want to say about Bernard Langer, but it wasn't phony. It wasn't fake. He's also led, while on PGA Tour, he also led the Christian, I believe, prayers that they had. I forgot what they call it, but anyways, he led the Bible study classes as well while on tour. So he's legitimate.
Yep. Now the Daytona 500. Woo, doggies, what a race.
Yes, the 65th Daytona 500 was held yesterday. It took two overtimes to crown this year's winner due to late race wrecks. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. pulled ahead driving the number 47 car just as the caution flag was being waved in the second overtime to win his first Daytona 500 race, the second time he's won at Daytona. He won the Firecracker 400, or I should say the Coca-Cola 400. Joey Logano finished second in the 22 car. Chris Bell driving the number 20 car finished third in his very first start for Joe Gibbs Racing. Stenhouse Jr. drives for the JTG Doherty race team, which includes former NBA player Brad Doherty is a co-owner. And I can say this, you know, with all the woke shit that's happening and happening in the country, Brad Doherty, though, is the real deal. this guy, since even while he was a NBA player, he supported NASCAR, and he's been a huge supporter of NASCAR, even before becoming an owner. And you know what? He puts his money where his mouth is. And so congratulations to JTG Doherty Racing Team. The JT in the JTG also played college basketball. So I believe that's what they have in common with Brad Doherty. So,
he's the first black team owner to win the Daytona 500, along with Jody Geschichter. She became the first female owner to do the same. So it was a big day. And Stenhouse is famous for what? He is the former boyfriend of who?
Danica
Patrick. Was on the tip of your tongue. Yes.
I couldn't get over that. GoDaddy.com.
Yeah. I tell you, he was 31st in the poll. He was a long shot to win this thing, but like you said, it was a wreck fest. And, I don't know. What did you think about the end with the monumental wrecks, half the field gone, maybe even more than half the field gone, and the winner didn't win because they had the better car or the better strategy? Not to take anything away from the victory of Stenhouse, but come on, he won because he survived.
Yeah, well, you know, strategy does play a role in it, because the cars that were in the back that caused it, if you were eight or worse, you pitted for tires or you went and got more gas during the overtime. One, I think NASCAR wants to have that type of reaction at the end. That's why they went to a playoff if a wreck occurs during their last three laps with three laps to go or more. Okay. So they got what they wanted, and the strategy is, does your pit boss and does the driver have the intestinal fortitude to stay on the track? And if they do, they could actually move up several spots, which is what happened with Stenhouse Jr. He was battling, and he was able to move into the top four. And the accidents usually occur about 8 to 10 back, and once that happens, the big wreck is a big wreck.
It was a wreck fest. That's why I'm
kind
of partial to open. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of partial to open wheel racing nowadays rather than NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR is great. They're going 198 miles per hour, which is damn fast around that track. And it had me on the edge of my seat. But I'm taking a liking to open wheel.
Yeah, I like them both. I'm liking them both. I like to go down and watch a open wheel Grand Prix race somewhere when it hits the South or Montreal or someplace, but New York. But you know what? Having been to Daytona and watching that, I really like the Super Speedways, man. It's really cool.
Yeah, the sound is indescribable. The intensity, the vibrations, the loudness, the adrenaline, it's all those things without exaggeration. And if you ever get a chance to go to a NASCAR event, go. You will enjoy yourself.
Oh, and if you want to feel the vibration, the smell of gas and rubber, and you want to watch a real wreck fest, go to Bristol, Tennessee. I went one year. Oh my God, it was freaking I literally had to wear earplugs. I was sitting about 12 rows, 15 rows back. Had to wear earplugs the entire race because it was so freaking loud. It was freaking incredible.
Yeah, that's a short track, too. There must have been bumping, grinding, and wrecks usually all during that race.
Yeah.
It was a fun one.
Yeah, really. I mean, really quick. Jeff Gordon wrecked out Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart turns around at the end. He turns around and does a Kozlowski, Ellen Kulicki lap where he goes the opposite direction, and he goes right after Gordon's car, and he nails Jeff Gordon, T-bones him, I mean, just in the beginning, you talked about, I mean, this is how intense these guys are. Hey, celebrity deaths real quick. Comedian turned actor Richard Belzer died at the age of 78. Belzer appeared in the long-running TV show Law and Order, I believe it's SVU. He played Detective John Munch alongside other actors as Mariska Hargitay, Christopher Maloney, D.D. Wong, Diane Neal. Oh, Diane Neal, to name a few, but he was actually good on that show, and it's kind of hard to believe that Belzer was 78 years old. Wow, so rest in peace, Belzer.
Yeah, not even old anymore, but yeah. Yeah, his claim to he was on stage with the Hulk, and they were doing just a benefit thing. Well, the Hulk picked him up, threw him on his head onto the floor. Blood was gushing everywhere. Bell sued the Hulk, got about $400,000, and bought a house in France with the money.
Yeah, he pile drives them. That's when they started. I think that's when they outlawed. They had discontinued the use of pile driving because of the neck injuries that it causes.
Yeah, but the Hulk, I mean, Hulk did that to Belzer just on a
right.
You know, just a fun event. I mean, Belzer's a skinny little comedian. So that was a funny story. Not a funny story, a sad story, but yeah, he had a hell of a career, that Belzer. Longest running show in history. Yeah.
Just hard to believe he's 78. Oof, we're getting old.
Cool. I don't think 78 is old anymore.
I don't either. Holy crap.
Yeah. My father-in-law is 100. My father-in-law is 100,
ooh.
Vito. So that is the goalpost for me. It has been moved way far. It's in the back parking lot now.
That's cool, man. 100 years old. Whoa.
78 sounds like
things, huh?
I tell you, 78 is nothing. So the trick is you got to keep moving the goalposts until you get them off the field and into the back parking lot, and then you will live a longer life. And if that's not true,
that's
you come
fun.
Talk to me after the fact, and then you can give me some grief.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
So Turkey was rocked by two more powerful earthquakes today in the southern province of Hatay. First earthquake measured 6.4 magnitude, followed by a second quake measuring 5.8. The area had already been devastated by two powerful earthquakes just 2 weeks ago, one at 7.8 magnitude, followed by a 7.5 magnitude 10 minutes later. Estimates state that 47,000 deaths have already occurred. And so now today's quake occurred south of the last two, even closer to the Syrian border and Aleppo. And the quakes were felt as far west as Jordan and Israel. So something's going on in that region. And, boy, that's just absolutely devastating for the people that have already been traumatized by those two earthquakes 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And then adding insult to injury, the Americans, we sent over a team to help, and so did the Israelis. The Israeli team that they went over, they send probably a group of 40 to 50 people anytime there's a national disaster. But you have to understand, they sent a team to help with the earthquake victims to their enemies. I mean, come on, Turkey and Syria want to wipe Israel off the map, and they still sent 40 or 50 people at their own expense to go over there, and they helped approximately 300 people, according to news reports, and then there were threats against their lives. So the Israeli rescue team had to leave the country because they were threatened with murder and death, and the Americans also had to leave for the same reasons, just not as intense, but they were threatened as well, so they left.
Well, they're on their own then. You know what?
Recep
Erdogan, he can appeal to the OIC and the other 56 Islamic nations for help then. I mean, if this is the kind of thing where we're talking about humanity and they can't even, you know, drop their hatred, their bitterness, especially in the wake of their people dying, 47,000 people dying? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, Jimmy Carter, speaking of goalposts, Jimmy Carter – is officially in hospice care. He's in his early 90s, I believe, and he's not taking any food or medicine, so his days are numbered. And he embraced every totalitarian dictator on planet Earth, and he hated Israel to boot. He loved Arafat, hated Israel. So he's on his way out.
Yeah, you know, but the one thing that Jimmy Carter can die peacefully now, he can die peacefully knowing that he's no longer the worst president in U.S. history. So at least that can give him some solace because, bonehead Biden has taken that mantle from him. I mean, it's just incredible how bad Biden is. And so Jimmy Carter gets a reprieve in the last years of his life to know that he stayed along that line, to know that he could die peacefully knowing he's no longer the worst president in U.S. history.
Right. But not to speak completely ill of the man, but the work that he did for Habitat for Humanity was stellar and unmatched, what he did for that organization over decades. So kudos to President Jimmy Carter for his work with Habitat for Humanity and all the lives that he enriched and made a lot better. So with that, I don't like to, I gotta say, that's good work, and he should be commended for that. So kudos, President Carter.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. I had a friend that years ago that worked for Habitat for Humanity and actually did speak, was not a Democrat, but did speak highly of the effort that Carter had put forth in advertising or showcasing their cause. So, yes, in that regard, that part of his philanthropy was very good. So.
Yeah, but like for every accomplished person, you can't pick your family, you can pick your friends. But Jimmy Carter had a brother named Billy. You remember Billy Carter?
Well, Billy Beer.
Billy Carter developed Billy Beer, and it was a big joke at the time. And his brother, much like Hunter Biden, traded and tried to make money off of his more accomplished brother's name. So he started Billy Beer. And I was curious. I was talking to my wife, and I go, boy, I wish I had saved a six-pack of Billy Beer. It'd be worth a fortune now. Well, so what I did is I looked on the Internet to see, how much is a six-pack of Billy Beer? Well, what do you think that magic number is for a six-pack of unopened Billy Beer?
I'd say $1,000.
Oh, way, way, way too high. A Billy Beer 12-pack with cardboard case with pictures of Billy in mint condition, $39.13. So, Billy
Did you
Carter,
buy it?
No, I didn't buy it. I thought about it. And I go, gosh, I would have held on to that thing for, 30, 40 years and got nothing.
It went up three times, though. Probably $12 for that 12-pack, right?
Yeah. He put so the Biden's Democrats put the Carter family Democrats to shame with their ability to use government and make lots of money because the Bidens, who've never had a regular job, they own five mansions, I mean big estates around the country. So kudos to them for gaming the system better than anybody else. Bastards.
Yeah, and they all talked about and accused Trump of being a puppet for Putin, but it turns out that the real puppet has been Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. So there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party, and so just stop calling the Democrat Party democratic. Bubbling Biden makes an unannounced trip to Ukraine to meet his Ukrainian handler, Zelensky. And, well, it was announced to Biden's communist comrade, Vladimir Putin, to let them know to stop bombing so Bumbling Biden could appear to be presidential. Apparently, Joe Biden committed yet another $500 billion to Ukraine to fight Russia. And the question now is Biden and his anti-American handlers pushing for World War III and staging Ukraine to be the arena of war? There are no U.S. troops in Ukraine. So what was the reason for Biden to make the trip to Ukraine with no U.S. troops? And obviously it was it's President's Day in the United States, and if we had a president, that you know it could be celebrated. But so obviously, lying Joe Biden couldn't go to Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan because he turned that base over to the control of communist Chinese and the Taliban. So Joe Lion Biden is using taxpayer money to fund the Ukraine war. Lion Biden shuts down America's energy independence, yet purchases oil from communist Russia, which communist Russia uses those funds to fund their war against Ukraine. So on one hand, U.S. taxpayers' money is being used to buy crude oil, once manufactured in America, mind you, and now being purchased from communist Russia. With the other hand, under the anti-American Biden-Harris regime, using taxpayer money to send to Ukraine to fight communist Russia. So we also learned today as well that over the weekend that communist China may be arming communist Russia with lethal weapons, and people are acting surprised. I mean, why would you be surprised, Al, that the communists actually stick together? So communist China is going to help and arm communist Russia, who's already invaded Ukraine once under Obama-Biden and now has done it again under Biden-Harris. So, I mean, can this anti-American regime be any more anti-American, be any more theatrical and fraudulent?
No, because when that was going on, the Russians were meeting with China, President Xi.
Yes.
Talk about getting one step closer to World War III. This is it, because if China, Blinken went and talked to his Chinese counterpart and said, well, if you start giving lethal weapons to Russia to fight this war, there's going to be a big problem. Meanwhile, we're sending billions of dollars and lethal weapons and defensive weapons and offensive weapons to Ukraine. It's a double-edged sword, and I think that our foreign policy, I don't know, they need to get a handle on this and quick and find a peaceful settlement one way or another. I think I see bad things happening in the future in the way of an expanded conflict. Where that goes is no place good.
You're right. It's no place good. And of course, word salad Harris, you know, she made it even worse, okay, because suddenly there's been revelations about Russian inhumanity and Russian war crimes. Now, where have they been the last 12 months? I think we reported on this about 6 or 7 months ago with regards to how Russia is exterminating Ukrainians and how the Russian Putin, okay, communist Russia brought in the Chechens to be to inflict brutality, okay, and I guess this is called war crimes. And she tried to act important, and she's a very poor speaker. But now on this other front, you had Biden goading Russia, communist Russia, to invade Ukraine, and then that happens. And now you have this feckless policy of this anti-American regime, okay, now is goading China to start supporting communist Russia in order to, with lethal arms, in order to fight Ukraine. So, this administration, this regime, is doing exactly what they were installed to do, and that's to create turmoil. That's to create chaos. There are no U.S. troops that we know of fighting in this regional war. So why did Joe Biden make this trip? Was it a distraction to distract the American people from Lion Biden's failures as president, especially on President's Day? You know, he turns his back on news reporters asking him questions after a seldom held press conference, as he did this past week. Could it be Biden stealing classified documents as a U.S. senator and a vice president really is starting to resonate with the American people and seeing Biden for what he truly is, an unqualified blowhard? And now we understand there's a fifth location, the University of Delaware, where Biden, I guess he graduated in 1965. There's 1,850 boxes of papers and documents in the Delaware Library, some of which came from when Biden was a U.S. senator. So Biden has a propensity for stealing classified documents. Now, they've not stated that those classified documents have been uncovered, but there's 1,850 boxes of documents at the University of Delaware Library. So we've had the University of Pennsylvania Library that the Communist Chinese funded to the tune of $70 million. On behalf of the Biden Center, okay, they find classified documents. Biden's handlers find, supposedly his handlers find classified documents when he was vice president. So that means those documents have been sitting there for at least 6 years. So, you know, this has been one distraction after another. The DNC state-run media continues to run cover for this frail old fraud. And then, of course, the latest distraction that the Biden-Harris regime needs is the environmental disaster occurring in East Palestine, Ohio. That, you know what, if you want to know exactly what this Biden-Harris regime stands for, look at how they absolutely boggled and bungled the East Palestine, Ohio environmental disaster. And you have to call it an environmental disaster because what is lying Joe Biden pounding his chest about? Being a green president, right? He's abruptly taken America off of fossil fuel with no replacement, mind you. And there is nothing to replace the fossil fuel with. And as a result of that, this absolute dimwit has caused the highest inflation in 40 years. Why? Because of energy. What Biden was installed to do was to take everything that President Trump did and roll it back, irrespective of the cause of the result of what happens, irrespective of the ramifications of gas prices surging, which caused transportation prices to surge. And it's exactly what happened. And as a result of that, the American people are taking it directly in the wallet. Our budgets are being busted. We have expenses that have gone through the roof with no wage increases. But Biden doesn't care because he just remains brain dead to whatever's happening, and whatever the issue is of the day, he ignores it. Now, the idea is he goes to Ukraine to create a distraction. Pete Buttigieg hasn't been to East Palestine, Ohio since the derailment of February the 3rd. Biden hasn't been there since February the 3rd, nor has he even acknowledged, he has said the word East Palestine, and I'm sure he was getting ready to get on a plane to go over to Palestine when they told him, Joe, it's in Ohio and it's not in the Middle East. That's how, you know, we know how dumb he is. But the fact is that on February the 3rd, 2023, a train derailed and it created an environmental hazard. Now, this guy is supposed to be this great green guy because he's put America inside of this green hoax, this globalist green hoax that's occurring, and he's turned his back totally on the state of Ohio. Governor DeWine, Mike DeWine, has petitioned FEMA help immediately, only to be turned back. Not once, not twice, three times. Finally, he's going to get help from FEMA. But you want to add insult to injury, Al. You know, this regime is saying, "Oh, we're going to set up a care center in East Palestine, Ohio, to help the people of Ohio." Oh, but we're going to start it tomorrow, February 21st, because today's a holiday. You know, do you think people in East Palestine, Ohio, give a shit about a federal holiday? Neither should the federal government. 2 weeks later, 17 days later, the Secretary of Transportation hasn't done squat. He's now sent out a new message, and he's actually, railed, no pun intended, railed against Norfolk Southern Rail. Wow. I mean, that's really a major step for these feckless individuals.
That's not even
so
leadership.
It's not leadership.
This bad
guy wanted
leadership.
To be president.
Yeah. So what, he sent a terse letter to Norfolk Southern president? FEMA, like you said, hasn't been there for 2 weeks. And you go to Lowe's, someone falls off a ladder, OSHA is there, lickety-split, to file charges against Lowe's for an unsafe work environment. And now you've got this. And we still don't know who made the call to blow up these chemicals and burn them out, spreading the toxic material. Not only does it change chemical composition once it's burned and hits the air, air molecules get on it, change it into hydrochloric acid, and then off it goes into the atmosphere. We still don't know what's happening with that. Is the drinking water safe? No, we don't know. And FEMA is just now showing up. It's a dereliction of duty, and the Republicans have been, for all intents and purposes, fairly quiet. They should be calling for an impeachment. Yeah.
I have to tell you something, though. You said it kind of cavalierly about these burns. You know, they burned it. Now, this regime, okay, to show how dishonest they are, they called it a controlled explosion.
Right.
Now, come on now. Get it right. It's a controlled explosion. So they exploded 5 rail cars worth of vinyl chloride. were intentionally burned off in a controlled explosion. So
right,
controlled explosion,
and their reason for it was that when the train rolled over, that the chemicals got sloshed around and became unstable. So they didn't know what was going to happen with their unstable condition. So that's when they brought in the explosives to burn it all off. I mean, to me, it seems reckless, and there should be an investigation to find out if that was the right call or if it was catastrophically reckless.
That's
up to the EPA, and the EPA is not there either. What the hell?
That's Michael Regan. He's the EPA administrator. He was on CNN over the weekend, and they asked him about that, and so they said, well, they haven't sent a team of scientists and researchers there because of the serious nature, and they're not sure if it's all clear to go. So in the meantime, they told the residents of East Palestine that they can drink the water, yet they're experiencing headaches, sore throats, and burning eyes as a result of the controlled burn. Now, this is an absolute dishonest regime. I'm sorry, but you know what? This should never have happened, okay, with regards to how the people of East Palestine, Ohio, are being treated. But isn't it ironic that President Trump announces that he's going to East Palestine and suddenly the EPA is sending a team out to open up a care center, in East Palestine tomorrow? And then the EPA now is suddenly talking about sending a team out. And all the people, the residents are doing is saying, we need help. Where are you? Can we get any more dishonest from these people or what? I mean,
it's a pattern of behavior, Vito. I mean, think back to Detroit when they had the lead in the drinking water problem, when they had all the lead pipes that were in that were breaking and they were rusting and they were in horrible condition because there was no maintenance or upkeep due to the city government. And the result of it was that the city water became contaminated. And this is when President Obama was in office. So he got in front of the room and he said, bring me a glass of water so I can drink it. And someone in the audience goes, get bottled water. And he says, no. No bottled water. I want a glass of drinking water to show you that the water is safe. So about 30 seconds later, Someone comes up to the podium with a glass of water. And what do you think President Obama did?
Gave it to Joe. Oh, no, I don't know.
No, there's no joke. This is real. I watched the video. He put the glass of water to his lips. Yeah, put it to his lips and did not drink. In the room, it was filled with pretty much all black people, and they were shocked. And nobody said anything. It was there's a little bit of outrage, but that was it. And that was just political theater. And that's what this is. I think it's the same type of political theater that is coming from the Democrat Party, as it did with Obama, as it is now with Biden. And it shows the world that these environmentalists, like you said earlier, have no concern for the environment at all. They can give two craps about the people who are going to be sick probably for decades. We don't even know what the cancer is going to do because it can't even be cleaned up. They obviously don't care about the long-term impact of this environmental disaster. All they care about is politics. And this should be a wake-up call to every Democrat out there. And if they can prove to me that the Democrat Party, the environmentalist Green Party, cares about the environment with the way that their actions have been regarding this Palestine rail car disaster, then please get on the phone, tell me, and show me where I'm wrong. But I don't think you can.
For one thing, it's the same people who are handling Biden who were in the Obama-Biden regime. It's the very same people. And You're not going to get a difference. You know, what the difference is that you have Biden who's not as charismatic, and you have Biden who is heartless. And, you know, this guy is halfway brain dead as it is, so he can just, you know, they give him something to read, and you hope that he doesn't go too far outside the box. And what better thing to do than to send him away out of the country when in a time that controversy has ensued? And the controversy is what's happening in East Palestine, Ohio. You know, there's so many unanswered questions. Now, the people are getting frustrated. And, you know, I watched a couple of videos that were also on Twitter, and they were a couple of minutes long with people asking their representatives a question. And they have every right to be angry, but one video in particular, a gentleman was not angry. He was angry, but he was not raising his voice. He was asking questions. And there was no answer by the representative. And I believe the representative was even a Republican. And all of a sudden, the tables turned. The rep came out and said, I'm not going to answer your question because you're yelling at me. And it's like, and the guy said, I'm not yelling at you. I'm asking you a question. And I watched the video again, and the guy wasn't yelling at him. He was making a statement. And this has become indicative of how Washington, D.C. politicians are. When they can't answer a question and they start to get challenged, irrespective of party affiliation, right away is you're yelling at me. You're raising your voice. You know, Maxine Waters can sit there and yell, and she's got venom coming out of her mouth. And if you challenge her, you're yelling at me. It's like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm asking you a question, yet you're not answering the question. Where have you been? Where has FEMA been? Now, obviously, the Republicans can't answer where FEMA has been because Joe Biden has been less than transparent. And his administration has done squadoose for East Palestine, Ohio. They've been AWOL, like they've been AWOL at the border. And it's the same method of madness with regards to the treatment of the people in East Palestine as it was with the treatment of the people, the United States citizens on the U.S. southern border. They don't care. And as long as they can continue to avoid answering questions, it's not like the DNC state-run media is going to hold these people's feet to the fire. Now, this may be a little bit different in East Palestine, Ohio, but I don't believe it'll be that much different because the governor of the state of Ohio is Republican. The state voted red in the last two elections, and there's really no concern for these people especially with regards to the environmental hazard. Because if Biden now goes down there, he has to acknowledge that it's been an environmental disaster caused. Contaminated water, fish die, you have chickens are dying, foxes are dying, you have contaminated air, you have animals dying, you have people, the citizens around that area in East Palestine and even in Pennsylvania are suffering, and in West Virginia are suffering from the air quality and air content. Now, if it's supposed that you are a great environmentalist, you want to be known as the green president. You're not the green president. You're actually the yellow president. Because there is nothing that Biden will do to address the situation, to avoid addressing the situation. He's the yellow president. He's not the green president. And the people, our fellow Americans in East Palestine, Ohio, deserve better from our government. And while Biden stood on a pulpit next to Zelensky in Ukraine today talking about how they have to help the people of Ukraine with their retirement, with their health care, what about the health care of the people of East Palestine, Ohio? What about the health care of the American people along the Ohio River where the water has been contaminated as a result of this controlled explosion? Huh? What about the people on the Mississippi River whose water is going to be contaminated as a result of the Ohio River flowing into the Mississippi, and the people of Pennsylvania who are on the border who experience the issue of this toxic cloud? In the meantime, you've got Biden pounding his chest in Nestor Zelensky reading from a script talking about how we're going to make the people of Ukraine whole. It's not our job to make the people of Ukraine whole. It is not our job. His job, first and foremost, are the American people. He took an oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. He took an oath to protect the American people, and he's failed miserably, continues to fail miserably. On all fronts, Afghanistan, U.S. southern border, illegal alien invasion, and now you're talking about an environmental disaster that occurs in middle America. And next to two important rivers, the Ohio and the Mississippi, contaminated as a result of this train derailment, which also there's been no statement with regards, was this accidental or was this intentional? And why are we having all of these train derailments? But we're not going to get any answers from this yellow president. And so Biden will talk about the great reset in America and how his inflation reduction as a result of implementing the green hoax policies. And in the meantime, when we have an actual environmental disaster, AWOL, 17 days. And then he has the audacity to make an unannounced trip to Ukraine, a foreign country, and then commit U.S. tax dollars in the wake of a $31.3 trillion deficit and commit more and more tax dollars to a foreign country we don't have the responsibility to be taken care of. We don't have that responsibility. We have a responsibility to make sure that people in Philadelphia who have the thermostat set to 55 degrees because they can't afford to buy heating oil. That's who our commitment should be to. It should be a commitment to all people in New England who are sitting there at 27 below zero and can't afford to put oil. Our commitment should be to the American people to be able to fill up their cars with gasoline. Go to the grocery store to buy groceries instead of standing in line at food banks because they can't afford to buy groceries as a result of the Biden disaster. Biden's been a national disaster, and he continues to prove that he is a natural disaster, a walking disaster, a reason why Joe Biden can never obtain his party's nomination because he's a weak little man. He's a blowhard. And he's abandoned the American people. And we're watching it unfold right here in our own country. Absolutely a disgrace, Al. And his staff, his cabinet is no better. Pete Buttigieg has been AWOL again. I don't know if he's out breastfeeding his kid once again, as he did when the show started being empty around the United States because we had ships that were out in the harbor, couldn't get unloaded. Where was Pete Buttigieg? Where was he? Gone. Where's Pete Buttigieg with regards to Palestine, Ohio? Where is he? Well, he just sent a terse letter, Vito. He sent a very tough letter to Norfolk Southern. I mean, this is the guy who told us he was ready to be president of the United States, and he can't even run the Department of Transportation. And this guy wants the keys to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Biden can't even run the fucking thing. It's horrible what we're witnessing today. It should never have happened. But Biden's doing exactly what he was installed to do, and that was to dismantle everything Trump did, irrespective of the consequences. It's absolutely, it's atrocious what's happening. It should never happen in this country. Never. Joe Biden is clueless. Joe Biden is partisan. His anti-American handlers are cold-hearted, and they're uncaring. And the FEMA director, Michael Regan, no relation to Ronald Reagan, they haven't sent scientists in to evaluate the damage because it's not safe. Really. This is what he says on CNN. Listen to this. The FEMA director, FEMA administrator, Michael Regan, said they haven't sent scientists in to evaluate the damage because it's not safe. So if it's not safe for bureaucrats to send their minions, how safe is it for the residents in and around East Palestine, Ohio? Huh? How safe is the Ohio River, which flows into the Mississippi? Fish are dying, foxes dying, chickens dying, like I said earlier. But that doesn't seem to be a concern for the Biden-Harris regime. Oh, you know, we're worried about animals, we're worried about the environment, we're worried about that. And when we have an environmental disaster, what happens? AWOL. Everyone is AWOL. And as the residents, the citizens of East Palestine get more and more frustrated, they are looked upon as being radicals. But you know, there is something heartwarming about America. There is something heartwarming. Even though the federal government has abandoned East Palestine, Ohio, what has happened is the residents and the businesses, including Walmart, have stepped up to the plate and have helped the people of East Palestine, Ohio. Even Walmart understands that the people can't drink the water there. They're providing bottled water. People are bringing in food and water and supplies to help the people in East Palestine, Ohio. Even though Lion Biden has sold America out to the global agenda 30, the climate stamp hoax, helping to collapse our energy independence, the American state of Ohio has been faced with an environmental disaster occurring on February 3rd. Today's February 20th, and there's been little or no response from the Biden-Harris regime, and it's been anemic at best. But hey, now we can take solace and know that FEMA now is going to set up a care center tomorrow. They couldn't set it up today because it was a federal holiday. See, there's no concern. There's no concern for the health and welfare of the people of East Palestine, Ohio. But now this man who's been installed, Joe Biden, is going to commit American taxpayer money to make sure that the Ukrainian people's retirements are made whole, and they have health care, and they have food, and they have jobs. And, oh, okay. What are you a president of? Are you a president of the world, or are you a president of the United States of America? Because first and foremost, the people of Ohio, the people of Pennsylvania, who surrounding the Ohio River need our help. This is taxpayer money. And yet we're watching $500 billion of taxpayer funds being sent over to Ukraine again. Now, I don't know if Joe Manchin's going to get upset. I don't know if Mike DeWine is going to get upset. But by God, the people of the United States of America should be outraged at the lack of leadership at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. This is an absolute disgrace. Biden wanted to be the green president with a great reset of America to go green with no plan right now, no immediate plan. And it turns out that Biden is nothing but a yellow president, because he's failed the American people once again. And then he's fled the United States of America. He had to go over to Ukraine as a distraction. But you know what? I can understand with the people of East Palestine, Ohio, who've experienced an environmental disaster, why would the citizens of Ohio want Joe Biden to visit the scene, since Joe Biden is a U.S. disaster? They've already experienced an environmental disaster.
In addition to what's happening at our southern border, getting invaded. Said it's an open checkbook in Ukraine. And the Republicans control the purse strings, so they should be able to start the process of transparency to find out where the money that they've sent has gone and if it's gone to where it is intended. But they haven't done that either.
Yeah, that we know of. So, I mean, it's early in the house, so we'll see. I want to read a couple of tweets. Okay, so here's a couple. Tone Man Lives is a gentleman I follow on Twitter. It says, President's Day is not the day you leave your homeland, the United States of America, and take a photo op in another country during someone else's war. Lionhearted tweeted back. She commented, "Unless, of course, you're Joe Biden, he doesn't have any love for this country. If he did, he would have gone to Ohio. He wouldn't push gender-affirming care for little kids or CRT equity or hire 87,000 IRS agents to tax weight people and anyone making over $600 on eBay." I love the Linus tweet. She tweets out this. It shows President Trump facing Lion Biden in this photo, okay? And under that photo, the caption reads, "It's amazing how well our country was run by a businessman and how quickly a career politician has destroyed it." And I got to say, that was one of the best tweets. If you happen to see that, and if I see it, I'm going to retweet it out. But it shows President Trump facing Lion Biden. And under the caption, "It's amazing how well our country was run by a businessman and how quickly a career politician has destroyed it." The Lioness TM, "You get a Mama Mia, no Sharia." And the last one is from Mira. She tweeted one of the best comments about Joe Biden going to Ukraine. "If only Ohio could launder Joe's money." That was short and sweet. So Mira, you get a Mama Mia on that one as well. "If only Ohio could launder Joe's money, we would see Joe in Ohio."
That is a good tweet. But we're also seeing Democrat people walking with their feet is in California. Did you know that since 2020, California has lost nearly 700,000 residents? And the California exodus is no surprise to most, except maybe Governor Newsom, who may be running for president. Under his scareless control, the 700,000 residents chose to leave for freer states. Now, the top outbound states are Illinois, 68%, Michigan, 63%, New Jersey, 63%, California, and New York. These are the states with most people leaving the state to go to other states. And the top inbound states where people are arriving in are Arizona, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Texas. I'm surprised Florida's not on that. Maybe they should be. But people are leaving Democrat states for Republican states. And they're crapping up all these good Republican states with their presence.
Yeah, a guy I played golf with yesterday was telling me that Massachusetts lost 110,000 people last year. Massachusetts.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
I believe
it. Yeah. And so more and more of the liberals. Now, the question is, okay, as these people fled California, and I'm sure they've also fled into Nevada as a result, because Nevada doesn't have a state income tax, I don't believe. And that's a freer state. But are they taking their politics of California with them? Because there's no reason why Adam Laxalt should have lost that Senate race in Nevada unless he was cheating. Oh, did I use the C word? I'm sorry.
Well, look at Florida. Florida used to be 54 to 55% Republican, and now Florida is 50-50 or 51-49, 51 Republican, 49 Democrat. So the demographics are changing in a lot of the Republican strongholds in Florida. So yes, this demographic shift out of Democrat states is becoming problematic for these legacy Republican states.
Yeah, you know, Florida and New Jersey both have been impacted heavily by Hurricane, I believe it was Michael. Was it Hurricane Michael that pounded Puerto Rico and actually did cause really irreparable damage to the island? So as a result, you had a flood of citizens of Puerto Rico coming into the states. They're part of the United States, but they actually enable them to be able to come into the mainland states. So they came to Florida, they came to Tampa, Central Florida, and I believe parts of South Florida. They bring their heavily Democrat Party support, and you know the mayor of you remember the mayor of San Juan, who was trying to excoriate President Trump and saying that he sent no aid, and it turns out there were pallets of aid, including water and food, that the mayor of San Juan was hiding to give the appearance that President Trump wasn't supporting the island, and he was. And of course, we all know what happened to the mayor of San Juan. She goes to jail for fraud, which is no surprise. But in the meantime, you had an influx of Puerto Ricans that came to Florida. You had an influx that moved to New Jersey and New York. And when you have 50% of the island that's on welfare and has a Democrat Party lean, it's no wonder that the states that they went to continue to be blue or start moving into the blue box. And it's why the Democrats also pander, you know, to the Hispanic movement in Central Florida and in Tampa. It's hard to believe that Tampa, as progressive as it is, I should say progressive, as capitalistic as it is, it would still be that blue. Part of the reason why. Why did Miami go red? You have Cubans who fled oppression, fled tyranny. You had Venezuelans who also fled communism. And they understand what communism is. And they don't want to be dependent upon the federal government. And unfortunately, you know, you have to change that cycle in that the Puerto Ricans coming into the mainland have to know that there's nothing better than a job. Okay, that the federal government doesn't have to take care of you and should not have to take care of you. And that's becoming the mind that is happening. That change is happening. But it's going to take a couple of cycles for it to really sink in. And sadly, though, the people, you know, New York and New Jersey have continued to remain blue. And, you know, there are people flocking out of New York, you know, despite, you know, Mayor Adams's quest to try to undermine Governor DeSantis, he can't hold a candle to what Governor DeSantis has done for the state of Florida.
So,
yeah, Governor DeSantis is doing a lot of things on a lot of fronts, including the DEI and getting CRT out of the schools, even at the college level. So there's some good things happening.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, you would hope that those states, like Arizona, you know that South Carolina is pretty good red. Tennessee is red. There's no state income tax in Tennessee. Texas. But, you know, with the influx of illegal aliens coming through the border, you know, Texas has grown. Texas can morph into a blue state. And, as you know, what do you do then if you're you know, I mean, you're talking about federal dependency. You know, you've increased the public dolls. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you know, this is the reason why you can't. The amnesty part of it is just another smokescreen in order to create a class of Democrat Party voters.
Mm. Well, that's the goal of the Marxists, is to fundamentally change our culture and take it away from a capitalist system to a Marxist system by any means necessary. They tried to do it with the anti-war movement during the Vietnam War. Until that failed, then these Marxists embraced environmentalism, and then the Marxists and Democrats ran with that and been very successful with this green environmentalist idea that we're here to save the planet and everybody on it. And they've gained a lot of power, but their true colors came out in Ohio when they when they're in power and they did nothing. So, hypocrites all.
Yeah, it's really. I don't get it. You know, for some reason Joe Biden is a protected species. The Democrat Party has got its stronghold on the so-called mainstream, which I heard it called, the legacy media, and they've sanitized this guy. You know, just the other day, a reporter was trying to ask, you know, Lion Biden the question after he held a seldom press conference, and he was talking to the media on one subject, and he had a couple of questions thrown out at him. He looked like a deer in headlights, but then when they asked him about his crime family, you know, he made an offhanded comment and then turned his back and walked away. And that's what he does. Now, can you imagine if President Trump has turned his back and walked away from the media while they were peppering him with questions? And first of all, mm-hmm. as they peppered President Trump with questions, he answered them. He took them. He listened to them. That's the problem with having this feckless fraud Biden. He can't take that heat. And his handlers don't want him to have to do that. That's the other thing. His handlers don't want him to have to answer questions because they don't know what he's going to say, for one. So, you know, it's just it's really sad the stage that we're in the political scene. And there's so much happening in the United States and around the world. There's so much chaos that's happening. And yet America doesn't have a leader to actually guide us through this with any type of stability. And all we're getting is empty rhetoric. And then we're getting more money being spent, more taxpayer money, U.S. taxpayer money being thrown out and spent. I mean, I just, you know, where are the American people? Okay, and I'm tired of hearing that we can't get our voice out, because we're going to start getting our voice out. Okay, we are going to be getting our voice out, and we're going to make it known that we're not going to take this garbage anymore. Okay, from this administration or from anybody in the press anymore. Okay, because it's time to change the narrative. And the Republicans are in control of the House, and it's time they act like they are in control. And the one thing, I'll tell you, Al, this one thing that Holder sent us with regards to the pandemic, I think it's incumbent upon Speaker McCarthy to take the lead on this and to have at least one or two press conferences immediately and state that the United States is not going to cede their healthcare system to any foreign source, including the World Health Organization. And that Joe Biden and the Biden regime, the Biden-Harris regime, have abrogated their constitutional handling, violating Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Supremacy Clause. The U.S. Supremacy Clause reads in part that the Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of the of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So Biden administration negotiates deal to give the WHO, the World Health Organization, authority over U.S. pandemic policies. Now, I don't know about you, but folks, we should be outraged over the fact that the globalist, anti-American Joe Biden and his administration are ceding control of our health to the World Health Organization. They were wrong on this pandemic. They were wrong on the treatment. But the Biden administration is preparing to sign up the United States to a legally binding accord with the World Health Organization that would give the Geneva-based UN subsidiary the authority to dictate America's policies during a pandemic. Folks, Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Supremacy Clause states that the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. That means that the Biden administration has violated the United States Constitution. The Biden administration, Joe Biden, has violated his oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. Now, we're calling on Speaker McCarthy to stand up and to speak out against this atrocity. The President of the United States does not cede U.S. authority to a foreign entity, whether it be the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the NATO alliances, the Arab League, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Who in the hell does Joe Biden think he is? Who in the hell are Joe Biden's handlers? Are they anti-American as well? I say yes. And despite widespread criticism of the WHO's response to the COVID pandemic, U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra joined with WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus in September 2022 to announce the U.S. WHO World Health Organization strategic dialogue. Together, they developed a platform to maximize the longstanding U.S. government WHO partnership and to protect and promote the health of all people around the globe, including the American people. You see that? It's the globalism. It's the globalists, including Joe Biden, including Kamala Harris, including the entire Joe Biden regime, who want to scrap the U.S. Constitution, who want to scrap U.S. law and make America cede to world policy. These discussions and others spawned the zero draft of a pandemic treaty published February 1, which now seeks ratification by all 194 WHO member states. A meeting of the WHO's intergovernmental negotiating body is scheduled for February 27 to work out the final terms, which all members will then sign. So I don't know where you are, Speaker McCarthy, but I certainly am going to be sending you a letter. I'm going to be calling your office tomorrow and asking you to get out there and be front and center and speak out against this anti-constitutional movement by Joe Biden and the Biden regime. If the World Health Organization says it is imperative, it is mandatory that everybody gets the jab. there is no say. You've lost your freedoms. You've lost your liberties as a result of the globalist movement by the Biden-Harris regime, by the anti-American globalist movement of the Biden-Harris regime, by the Marxist movement of the anti-American, anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not, are not to take this. Go ahead, Al.
I was going to say, make no mistake that if the American people do not, like you, call their representatives and voice their opinions, believe me, the Democrats are watching this closely and the Marxists are watching this closely, and if there is very little pushback from we the people, then all of a sudden it will happen in the middle of the night very quietly. This is like a trial balloon that's going up because they want to put their finger in the air and gauge how upset the American people are and how many different things that they can look at, because we're getting overwhelmed with catastrophes, trains blowing up, environmental disasters, attacks on our electric infrastructure. There's a lot of things going on to distract us, and it becomes overwhelming. That's why they are doing this now with the WHO, the World Health Organization, and as you said, ceding control to this World Health Organization regarding our pandemic policy. And that is extremely troubling and very scary, and I think there's a good chance that it will pass. So that's why we have to yell and scream as loud as we can. So I'm with you. I'm going to call my representative tomorrow as well. I'm glad you brought this up.
Well, because it's scheduled for February 27th, and not many people know this, and I didn't know about it until we got the PDF from Holzer, and apparently yep. RZ put it out on his show on Saturday. And so here we have – it was published on February the 1st, okay? So that was what? That was 19 days ago. You have the globalist movement, okay, is afoot within the Biden-Harris regime. Now, here's a couple of quotes from some professors. Both initiatives are fatally dangerous, says Francis Boyle, professor of international law at Illinois University, told the Epoch Times. Either one or both would set up a worldwide medical police state under the control of the WHO, and in particular, WHO Director General Tedros. If either one or both of these goes through, Tedros or his successors will be able to issue orders that will go all the way down the pipe to your primary care physician. And you see, here's another reason why that they wanted the affordable, the Democrat Party, wanted the Affordable Care Act to be enacted. The federal takeover of health care in the United States. That was the first phase. Secondly, is to cede control of our health care system to an outside entity, a world body, a governmental world body. This is an anti-constitutional movement by the Biden-Harris regime. End of story. Either one or both would set up a worldwide medical police state under the control of the WHO, and in particular, WHO Director General Tedros. If either one or both of these goes through, Tedros or his successors will be able to issue order that will go all the way down the pipe to your primary care physician. You're due for your flu shot. I don't want it. Oh, yep. Sorry, the WHO says it's mandatory. I don't want it. I'm sorry, we'll have to give it to you. I'm leaving. No, you're not going. Now, you remember the videos during the pandemic in Australia of people being held down by police and taken to jail, or people being held against their will to get the jab? And now we know there are side effects as a result of this jab. 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds, 45-year-olds suddenly dying after being perfectly healthy. But we're going to have an outside entity, the World Health Organization, start dictating our individual freedoms and our liberties. You don't want to get the jab? I'm sorry, the WHO says you must get the jab. What is it this week, Al? Is it smallpox? Is it monkeypox? Is it Ebola? Well, you get a jab. We'll get a jab. The World Health Organization says you must get a jab. Oh, by the way, your primary care physician told the United Nations that you didn't get the jab, Vito. You got to knock at the door. We are from the United Nations. We are here to give you an inoculation. I don't find it. I don't want it. I said if we are going to give you an inoculation because your doctor said you don't get the jab. We must come in and you must get it. Everybody in your family must get it. We'll be back for you to give you a booster. See?
Yep. And this would give the World Health Organization the absolute power to dictate lockdowns, quarantines, and more. But one country is saying no, and no thanks, and that is Brazil, of all places. The president in Brazil is standing by his COVID record and wants to maintain autonomy to deal with the next one. So kudos to Brazil, and the United States of America needs to be like Brazil in this. Because like you said, you say no to the jab, let's say that someone in your family turns you in, and they go, oh, geez, Uncle Vito didn't get the jab, and then said, really? And then they tell somebody, and then they tell somebody. Next thing you know, you got someone's knocking at your door telling that you have to have the jab. Or if you don't have the jab, then they tell your employer that you are not vaccinated and that you cannot – you are a threat to society. You are a threat to your family. And we heard that during the lockdowns. How many families have been broken up? Yeah, many of our friends, their families have been broken up because some people are so afraid that if you didn't have the jab, they didn't want anything to do with you. They weren't afraid to tell you, and they thought that you were a threat to them and everybody around you. You became a pariah. Yeah, we look at it. I mean, we survived 2 years. Yeah, we survived 2 years of crap from family and friends. And it was hard. It wasn't easy. It wore us down. It wore me down. And now this is so Big Brother 1984 stuff happening that, we're here. I think the war is on.
Well, it is. You know, and we wondered, honestly, I tell you, the more that you start connecting the dots, it was no coincidence that Trump was ousted. And you know what? You can sit there and you say you're rehashing the 2020 elections, and in some ways, yes. But the fact remains is, how does this feckless fraud get 81 million votes? And why? And how? And why did he get 81 million votes? And then you look at what's occurred since January 20th of 2021. Seriously, look what's occurred since that time. And all he's done is he's undone everything that Trump put in place that was working. And we talk about the individual freedoms and liberties. Here we are in President's Day. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, John Adams. You know, these were our founders, great men who believed in individual freedoms and liberties and understood what it was to live under tyranny, under the thumb of King George and England. And they didn't want that. That's why they didn't create a democracy. They created a representative republic. And fast forward 235 years later, you have this massive effort to undo everything that our founders did and to render this thing called the Constitution useless. And that's what's troubling. And that's what should trouble each and every American, irrespective of your party affiliation. Because this world governance doesn't just impact Republicans or the unvaccinated, it impacts each and every person. You know, you're a leftist and you go in for your 14th abortion and the World Health Organization says, well, you know, 14 might be a little bit much. We're going to put that child up for adoption, so you're going to have that right on it. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have it because, you know, your primary care has been informed. And he informed the World Health Organization. So VS us in Geneva, and we've talked to Klaus Schwab in Geneva, and they say that you should have the baby, and we will send the baby over to Austria. Okay. So now the World Health Organization, we have a problem with an Ebola breakout, you know, of the elephant pipe. And so everybody that lives on the Atlantic, who lives in an Atlantic state, is going to have an Ebola shot. I don't want it. We are here to give you Ebola shot because you, the World Health Organization, has stated that we have total control over your healthcare system. That's what it's amounted to. And why? The President of the United States violates the United States Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. And in one stroke of the pen, has ceded control of our entire healthcare system to a world government body, the New World Order. And we thought that George H.W. Bush was uttering some nonsense 30 years ago. Turns out it wasn't nonsense. It was the precursor of what we're seeing today. The precursor as to why it was imperative that Donald Trump not win the presidency. Because the World Health Organization, the New World Order, could not control Trump because he believed in America first, as he should have as the President of the United States. If you're going to commit $47 billion to take care of people, you commit $47 billion to take care of the American people so that the person in Philadelphia can fill their oil tank, okay, and they can set their thermostat not at 55 degrees and freeze, maybe set it at 71 degrees, okay, and have a lifestyle. No, instead, we're going to send it to Ukraine so that we can help with their retirement. Let the World Health Organization, let the United Nations, or should I say the useless nations, take care of the Ukraine, the second most corrupt country in Europe. Hmm. This is outrageous, well, Al. This whole thing of centralizing this medical care should scare the hell out of each and every American.
It should. And is that, and as this problem is going on, did you know that yesterday flights were halted at Oakland Airport where 9,000 were without power following a major substation fire along with a string of attacks across America? Now, the Oakland Airport in California's Bay Area halted flights on Sunday evening following a fire at a Pacific Gas and Electric PG&E electrical substation that left more than 9,000 customers still in the dark. Travelers were stuck standing in long lines and security shut down for hours at the airport, and others crowded at their gates and baggage claim waiting for power to be restored. The Bay Area Rapid Transit restricted service to and from the airport for several hours. Now, the power outage, apparently all of the Oakland airport was at a standstill, reported digital media producer Matt Ashlock on Twitter. No one's getting through security for going on almost an hour. Now, this is also in addition to, at the beginning of January, we reported this story that two were arrested in a power substation. They call it vandalism. I call it an attack against an electrical substation in Washington State. And there was another one in Tacoma, Washington, where it was attacked, knocking out power to more than 14,000 customers. So how many has it been? Well, since then, that's in January, there's been at least 18 more publicly reported attacks or potential attacks on substation and power plants in Florida, North Carolina, Oregon, South Carolina, and Washington. This is more than just a one-off or vandalism. This, you can't look at this and not come to the conclusion that there is a pattern of attacks on critical infrastructure. This is, are we under attack? Some would say yes. I tend to agree. Because why would you attack a substation? You find the points of weakness. That is one of them. I'm sure everybody is driven by. You've seen these substations with all the electrical equipment, and the only thing protecting it is a chain link fence, probably a 9 out of 10 of these substations that you see all throughout wherever city you live. I don't care if you're in rural or major city. they are unprotected, just like our dams and waterways. You remember there were, there was a string of maybe five or six people that were arrested trying to pollute and damage water systems and freshwater reservoirs. And then all of a sudden that just stopped. We haven't heard any more about that. So now it's these substations and removal of power. Then you have these balloons that were happening. Then we shot down the one, the Chinese balloon that was all the way across the country. I don't believe that the balloon was any type of a threat to the United States because the Chinese already have satellites and space-based platforms that can do all of the looking and seeing that they could do from an airborne balloon, any type of reconnaissance. I think what this balloon showed is how the United States would react to it because they made it big enough that you could see it from the ground. They were tracking it from the minute that it started going over the Pacific Ocean outside of China. And the only time that it became a news story is when someone looked up and goes, what the heck was that? Oh, it's a big balloon. And then it started going viral on Twitter and Facebook and other social media. And then it became a thing, and then they finally shut it down. Now, if you were the communist Chinese, how would you rate the United States reaction to that big balloon violating our airspace when they knew that it was communist Chinese? If you were President Xi, what would you be saying to yourself?
Ah, so look at this. Not once, but twice we can penetrate U.S. airspace. Not once, but twice. Yeah.
Weakness.
Yeah, exactly.
Total
weakness.
We're projecting weakness. And once you project weakness, as you know better than anybody, Vito, the projection of weakness causes unrest, causes angst. Some would say ajna throughout the country. And that's when wars start. That's when the trouble begins. And we're already seeing it in the streets. We're seeing riots in the streets. We're seeing so much. We're seeing the destruction of defund the police and attacks on the police physically as well as respect-wise, societally. You put all of these data points together and it paints a very, very troubling and scary picture that people must wrap their head around and figure out who's doing this. And I can tell you who's doing it. This is the Marxists that are wanting to destroy our culture. And we haven't really dealt with an enemy such as this in this type of warfare. Because it's always been, I don't know, you go against a country, you go against a uniform, you have an enemy that's easily defined either geographically or by look or their dress or military gear. This is something different where the enemy is in the United States of America and we're letting them in with the open borders, which we haven't even started. Those cells haven't even started to go active yet.
You know, I got to thinking about that with regards to the open borders part of it and you know, the lackadaisical nature of our government and our officials and how they're programming the people now into thinking that, well, we can give them amnesty. And you look at the people who have migrated to the United States legally and went through the legal system, and what is it that they have? They have an understanding of America. They have an understanding of our foundings. And they have a deeper appreciation for our foundings, which means that they understand the individual liberties and freedoms that are afforded by being a citizen of the United States. And if you're here legally, you're not required to know anything about America's history. What you know is that Joe Biden's going to give me a check. You know, Joe Biden opened the borders and I can walk in. And you know that you walked in illegally, you were handed some papers, you were transported to a city of unknown, and that is your residence, but you don't have an affection for the country that afforded you the opportunity to experience the liberty that you don't have in the country that you fled, and or your country that you left, or the country that offered you an opportunity to leave. And that's why this whole thing with Chuck Schumer and the Senate, you know, talking about amnesty for 2 million or 4 million or 6 million or 11 million illegal aliens is just another dilution of the American values of what it means to be a citizen of the United States. And it's why when you look at it, I've had several friends who came over to the United States legally to become citizens of the United States legally, and they know what the Constitution is. You look at Belly, our big fat soft underbelly, coming from New Zealand and had a study to take the citizenship test. You want to talk about somebody who has a passion for the United States of America. And the reason why is because he did it the right way. And he and millions of others have done it the right way. I've had friends from South America who became citizens of the United States who have such a deep affection for the United States of America. And that's what it means to legally migrate to the United States. And all of these soft words to disarm the American people, you know, instead of calling them illegal aliens, you call them migrants, you call them refugees. That's the latest, you know, sanitizing of illegal aliens. Call them refugees, okay? They're not refugees. There are no refugees coming in. There are illegal aliens coming in. And to give citizenship carte blanche is just, it's wrong. And you know what? It also devalues the migrants who came to the United States and through legal avenues spent tens of thousands of dollars just in attorney fees to be a citizen of the United States, to take that oath of citizenship. And, you know, we're continually being distracted, okay, by the woke movement, by the left-wing movement, by the Marxist movement, and being reconditioned that, oh, isn't this, we're gonna give amnesty, oh, why? Why? And conservatives are looked upon and we're demeaned for this globalist utopian culture and turning the United States into a third world shithole. It's incredible what we're witnessing today. And it's something that didn't start 4 years ago or 6 years ago or 8 years ago or during the Clintons. It's turning out that we're learning it started over 100 years ago. You know, you can go back to 1913 with Woodrow Wilson, his progressive policies, implementing the income tax, implementing the Federal Reserve, and bypassing the U.S. Constitution. You know, we thought that was historic. Now we're looking at the prospect of turning over our entire healthcare system to a third world entity, to a world governing body, the World Health Organization, who's going to dictate to the American people what's legally binding. It's unbelievable what we're witnessing today. And to think that our fathers and our grandfathers and our uncles fought for this country to keep that totalitarian authoritarianism out of our society, to stop Hitler in his tracks from taking over the world. And there were people right behind him who were prepared to do it and who were very, very patient in doing so. Very patient in turning the United States of America. That's why, Al, I believe that the idea of ousting Donald Trump from the presidency was the most important thing for this world body, because it then opened up the U.S. southern border, and it's been absolutely porous. And for 2 years, Joe Biden did not even visit the border. and they gave us empty rhetoric, empty promises. They ceremoniously handed Kamala Harris the czar of the border czar title, and all it was is a title, and did nothing, ignored it until it became an issue, and until the Democrats lost the majority in the U.S. House. Was the only time that Biden actually addressed the border. And he put a perfect chimpanzee with Mayorkas in there to give nothing but lip service to the American people. Absolute lip service. He's tone deaf. And we're supposed to accept that.
You want to hear another disturbing story? You remember that cross-dressing man who was hired by the Biden administration, Sam Brittain, he was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition at the Energy Department. This man was responsible for spent uranium and spent nuclear fuel and getting rid of all of this very dangerous waste. Well, this is a man who dresses as a woman. Well, he was arrested for stealing women's clothes, their bags. He would find women's bags when he would travel at airports, and he would steal their suitcases. And then his fetish was that he would wear the clothes that he was stolen. Well, that's a felony because you're doing it at an airport. You remember this case? It got
Minneapolis.
It was just
airport.
So freaky. Yeah, it was just so freaky and weird, one that they would put a cross-dressing man in such an important position who doesn't even know what his gender is. That's a whole other story. Well, anyway, this former Biden administration cross-dressing official who was charged with multiple felonies was released without bail. He got himself undone.
Well, he lost his job. I mean, that was the crux of it, right? Because of stealing that lady's luggage in Minneapolis airport.
Well, who cares? It shows a profound ability to make horrible decisions.
Correct.
And this man's the deputy assistant secretary, because you don't just get to become a deputy assistant secretary. You have to be vetted. You need a security clearance. And you have to have a long history. You have to have somebody who is your mentor that is getting you into this position. It just doesn't happen. I mean, you know a little bit about how that works as far as rising up through the ranks of the military. It's the same thing here. You can't do it on your own, or you can't do it on merit. It's not always what you know. It's who you know. And that this guy was committing felonies, reaching that pinnacle of one's career, and then he goes and does this because he's got a sick sexual fetish, among others. And now he gets undone and released without bail. It's an insult to the rule of law. And this is just another – the reason I bring this story up is just another data point of how our rule of law is becoming – I don't know. It doesn't apply to everyone equally. The justice is not blind anymore. If you have a D next to your name, then you get off for everything and anything.
Who comes to mind immediately? Ilhan Omar. I mean, look at Ilhan Omar. So she marries her brother to defraud the U.S. immigration system, and we're supposed to be okay with that. And then she has several campaign finance law says she's broken. Okay, she pays a measly $5,000 fine, but in the process, she's broken campaign finance law. So right there, we have two incidences immediately, and there are no consequences for her action, but she has a habitual tendency to break the law. So she has a value system that really shouldn't reward her being in the United States Congress, or does it really speak of what we should expect from people in Congress? You know, Corrine Brown down in Florida, she defrauds her constituents. She defrauds the investors. They donate over $880,000 to her foundation, which is to provide
scholarships to underprivileged children. And that sounds great, doesn't it? She gave $1,200 or $1,400 in scholarships of the $880,000. The rest went to family members and to staffers. And she gets caught, and she goes to jail. Now, you think that would be the end of it, but she ran for she gets out of jail, and she runs for re-election. She runs for the same seat she held before she went to jail. Now, at some point, you would think that would be a disgrace. You would think the media would absolutely excoriate her. She's a Democrat, and she's black. So there's a different set of standards for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there should be some integrity being held. Sam Brittain has no integrity. I mean, that's what he did. We should not be surprised. And then the legal system then lets us down once again, as it let us down with Ilhan Omar, Kareem Brown, and Sam Brittain, the same thing. It's unbelievable what we are witnessing.
And then occasionally life will just throw you a curveball. And here's a wild story. An elderly woman, 85, she was killed by a 10-foot alligator while walking her dog in Central Florida.
What?
A crazy animal story. Yeah, she's out walking her dog. She gets attacked by a gator, and she died from the attack. This woman.
No way.
Elderly woman just out walking her dog. 10-foot alligator. So,
whoa. Where was that?
That's
in Florida?
In Central Florida. So,
oh, wow.
Fate
goodness.
Is a funny thing. Sometimes life will just bite you. Yeah, sometimes life will just throw curveballs. This is a horrible story out of Fort Pierce, but just goes to show you life is life is a crazy thing. But we have to do what we can, and if you're and if you love America and you hate Marxism, you got to get involved.
Most definitely, I 100%. And the one thing that needs to be involved right now, okay, right now,
mm-hmm.
there needs to be an involvement by each and every American concerning this World Health Organization control. Honestly,
yeah.
this is something that needs to be done immediately. And it's called the WHO pandemic, WHO authority over U.S. pandemic policies. There's a vote that will take place on February the 27th. I urge you to contact your member of the United States House, contact both of your U.S. senators, and contact McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy's office. There is no reason that the World Health Organization intergovernmental negotiating body should have any control over U.S. healthcare system.
Yep.
And shame on the Biden regime for selling America out once again.
Yeah, that's impeachable, in my opinion. But we have a week, and we will watch this story closely and then report back next Monday to see how it goes. But got a second?
Yeah.
Call your representative. Very easy.
Yeah, call them and call Speaker McCarthy's office. Flood McCarthy's office, and the Speaker needs to jump on top of this and actually make this a issue. When we're being distracted with Ukraine, when we're being distracted with other issues that are going on in the United States, this is very important because this, in my opinion, the turning over our U.S. healthcare system to the World Health Organization is part of the design of the Affordable Care Act and the U.S. government taking over our healthcare system.
Yep, and all this was planned by design. These are not coincidences. This is planned by design to distract, like you said, with Ukraine while this is going through. And this is really, Ukraine is, as you said, is a distraction. And this, I believe, is the real story, this WHO story and the United States ceding authority to the World Health Organization for pandemic policies going forward. So this is a very, very big deal. And this is the golden egg that the Marxists want and the globalists want.
Yeah, and think about this. Let's fast forward to 2024. Election time. And let's just say that Donald Trump wins the nomination again. And let's say that polls are showing that that Trump has a 60-40 lead over bonehead Biden. And suddenly the World Health Organization declares there is a virus that's stemming from East India, Africa, and we're going to lock down the world once again. And suddenly everything's locked down. The World Health Organization decides that, well, you're going to have to go to mail-in ballots. There's, you know, you're going to have to stay home, and you can vote by mail or by phone.
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Wait, that just happened.
Exactly. Do you think
even President
Party, the cabal, doesn't think what's going on? Shit.
Yeah, President Trump is even sending out he's making some noise going that we need to ballot harvest because we need to be better at ballot harvesting than the Democrats.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was kind of interesting because I thought ballot harvesting was illegal, but that doesn't stop the Democrats, and I think that's what the point that he was trying to make.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Employ the same tactics the Democrats do, and suddenly you're going to hear the Democrats talking about a free and fair election again.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter who gets the party nomination, right? If Trump or whomever, or the Republican, if that's employed, can you imagine the hysteria by the Democrat Party about ballot harvesting?
Oh,
that's
Trump
beautiful.
Is a brilliant man, brilliant tactician.
No wonder why they hate.
And God
so
forbid,
much.
And God forbid, this WHO thing does go through. And if President Trump is elected, he will just wipe this off the face of the earth. He'll say, no more. That's over. Because you were following this much closer than me, was this WHO policy, is this an executive order, or is it just something that president has the authority to put his signature on and make policy? I don't know the answer to that, and I'll research it this week. It's a good
Constitution,
question.
Constitutionality-wise, he doesn't have the authority to do this.
Right.
Because this has to be – the United States Senate is the body that would have to offer this, and then it would have to go before the United States House, I believe, and then it has to be a situation where the U.S. – you're talking about – revising the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2, which means that it takes it takes two-thirds of the U.S. states to vote to approve the change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not by the stroke of a pen that this evil policy is going to become a reality. They'll have to really push it through. Well, that's good, and that's how it should be. Our republic was meant to have debate and move slowly, so I'm glad to see that that's the case.
Well, no, I apologize. I didn't understand your question. No, the Biden administration, okay, the Biden regime, Biden could just sign a document and override. Mm-hmm. What he's doing, he's overriding the U.S. Constitution, and that's why it's imperative that Congress get in the middle of this and stop this immediately, because it's illegal for what he's doing. That's absolutely
right,
illegal.
So like many
it's
things,
unconstitutional.
So, okay, so like many things, he'll just sign it, make it law, and then if someone doesn't like it, then they can file a lawsuit and take it through the courts. But in the meantime, it'll be on the books until the day that it is not.
That's correct.
Even though he knows that it violates the Constitution, he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. Boy, that is just
yes.
evil. And if you're not, if that doesn't
yes.
make you mad, then I don't know what will make you mad. Other than some cross-dressing nuclear waste disposal person wearing women's clothes and stealing women's clothes. If that doesn't make you mad, I don't know what will make you mad.
I don't either. I don't know. I
Yell
really
ID
don't.
Will make you mad. That makes you mad all on its own.
No, it doesn't make me mad. I could care less about the LIV. I don't care about it. So
I just throw it out.
So what won't make it mad is Hank Jones of Poly Sports. He's on this coming Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, Hank is back. He's got a after Wednesday show. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. I'm not sure he's doing a show this week, so if he doesn't do a show, I will do another show on Friday. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Did an hour show last week, so you can check it out in the archives. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Simon does a fantastic job. Just check out his show. If you want to learn about Islam, if you want to learn about Christianity, Osama, Minister Dakduk, he speaks Arabic. He speaks it fluently. He translated the generous Quran into English, word for word, so the man understands the Quran as well. Sunday, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent. Check him out Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Next Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. G-Ski and Dave, Airways America, please keep G-Ski in your prayers. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, is slotted to come back with her great sidekick, Curtis Bennett, author Curtis Bennett, this Friday at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to break from politics and sports and such, check out the Simone Nicole Show. Joshua is on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. It's the sister network to BTR. And Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings at AudreyRusso.com. She's got some great guests, and her sidekick, Mr. P, has a great monologue, so check out their show. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. If you want a comprehensive blog with news from all sources in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. Ducky Northwest, you get a Mama Mia. And Super New Mexico, nice to see you, Sue. Hope you're doing well. So Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Al, any other parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week.
Yeah, I hope that everybody in the chat room, I hope we get our chat room squared away by next week. So that's why we're not responding. So you all take care. Have a nice evening. Be safe out there. Beware of your surroundings. And make sure you contact McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy's office, and your congressman or woman and your U.S. senators. And let them know that you are against the WHO taking over a healthcare system. Ciao, everyone.
Yes, it was my way.
They weren't going to get the signal of 30 seconds or 90 seconds of on the cell phone.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, that WHO thing, World Health Organization, that's bad. Really, really bad. What is it with people?
I just can't. I don't know, Al. This whole globalist movement, this is what it is, and the gall of Biden is just this is anti-constitutional.
I don't know. I guess the majority of the people did get the shot. We were in the minority for sure, and I guess the majority of people were they loved the pandemic because it. I don't know, maybe it empowered them to feel better than everybody else, and they liked it. There was good and evil. We were evil. They were good, and it empowered them, whether it was a family member or a total stranger. People weren't afraid to tell you to mask up and be rude in your face. They did it because they wanted to. Maybe it's sucking energy off it. Maybe it's sucking energy off a very dark part of human nature. I don't know.
Well,
I'll leave that up to the philosophers. I don't know.
Well, you brought up a good point, though. You know, about demonizing, because what was it that Biden did when he got in? First of all, under Biden they get the vax. Okay, so now the jab is available. He just got done telling the American people during the campaign that a president should resign if 220,000 people die under your authority. Okay, so now we've got 880,000 people dying under Biden's authority, including having the vax. Okay, so what was the response by Biden? Was to demonize the unvaccinated and saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that you're the cause. So he falsely accuses the unvaccinated. And there's no pushback until Joe – what happened? Joe Rogan, a podcaster, Joe Rogan, absolutely undoes the entire left-wing movement with Dr. Maloney. And then, of course, Sanjay Gupta, who has to admit with regards to the vaccine. So here we have the horse tranquilizer is not a horse tranquilizer. It is effective.
Oh, the ivermectin. Yeah.
Ivermectin.
And
yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, here's something else. You know, Alec Baldwin, who was on the set of the movie, and then a gun, it was a loaded gun, and then he killed somebody, killed one person,
right,
and then wounded another. Well, the court case is going on, and the prosecutors, there's a big, he's going to get himself undone, because part of the main charge was a sentence enhancement that could have carried a mandatory 5-year sentence against Baldwin, because he was charged with involuntary manslaughter with a firearm enhancement charge. So the lawyers' firearm enhancement charge became active after the shooting, and the prosecutors still charged him with it, even though it was after. So that's going to be taken off of the charges. So he's going to be – and that carried a 5-year sentence, so that's off the table. So – him and the other girl who was the firearm manager, the gunsmith. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so both of them are getting charged with involuntary manslaughter now. So they're well on their way to getting themselves undone.
Are we surprised?
No. And you know, I know that he didn't intend to kill her. He didn't want to hurt her. He's not a threat to society. And still, I mean, it was a horrible accident, and he had responsibility over that, and he was irresponsible.
Yep. Without a doubt.
Bad accident. But you got to take you got to take responsibility for it. But anyway, this story is just fascinating. And then the husband is now the producer. He got paid off, and he's now the producer of the film.
Oh,
the dead woman's husband is now the producer of the film.
Well, you can't
How
make
fucked
this up.
Up is that? No, you can't make this up. Holy goodness.
Holy guacamole.
Hey. Let's see what Sue's up to before we got to run. Hey, Sue.
Hey, hi. You know,
hey,
Alec Baldwin,
he's
going to get off on all of it. This is occurring in Santa Fe and Santa Fe County. And Santa Fe was Californians moved into Santa Fe, probably about 25 years ago. And they have totally taken over the county. And, it's a sanctuary city. It's little California is what Santa Fe has turned into. So I guarantee you Baldwin is going to get scot-free on everything.
You know, Vito, you were talking about that earlier in the show about when we were talking about the 700,000 people from California that have left the state and what happens when they move.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Santa Fe County is a great example of that.
I tell you, they absolutely ruined Santa Fe, and it's just got worse and worse. That's why I had to move from Santa Fe, is because of the cartel and the, what are they, MS-13 or MS-16, whatever, you know, gangs that had moved into Santa Fe. The outskirts of Santa Fe are totally lawless. It's incredible. People have no idea. Open fights. It's like being down in Juarez.
Yeah.
So
you know what? And MS-13, you know, when it is in Long Island, New York, they've had some presence there, and they had a bunch of brutal killings there. And you know, it's just that MS-13's bad, no matter where they go.
Well, the cartels hate MS-13. My trailer court, the cartels had taken over, oh, probably about 5 or 6 years before I moved. But they had, you know, gunfights and everything, and you just lay low on your floor, you know, because, you know, a bullet would go through a trailer easy. But anyway, you know, you left them alone, they left you alone. And then about the last 6 months I was living in Santa Fe, the MS-13 moved in, and they started a turf war in my trailer court. And it was all over drugs and everything like that. And it was incredible. And I had a MS-13 move in right across the street from my trailer. They would sit out there, and if I went outside, they would look at you like they would like to slit your throat. I mean, they would break into the elderly's homes just because they wanted to get drugs. You know, they figured elderly, you know, you've got drugs and stuff. But the scariest people I have ever seen in my life, and they would just look at you, and you could just see in their minds, you know, I'd like to slit your throat just for the fun of it. Yeah, and I didn't keep in contact with anyone. I don't know who finally won out, the cartels or MS-13, but those two groups definitely hate each other. But, you know, yeah, they ruined it. And, you know, when the Californians move out, another thing that these states are moving into or going to see is the price of their housing is going to go so high that locals can no longer buy houses. And that's because housing is so high in California. When they move, they pay, you know, these huge prices for houses, and that raises the housing market. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to happen with these people moving out. But they have, you know, there's some good ones, but most of them have no sense. And they want to get out of California because of the politics and what's happening. And then where they move, they're very politically, you know, activists. And they get into the politics, and next thing you know, they're basically enacting what they ran away from.
Absolutely
so.
True.
Mm. Boy, you are just a ray of sunshine.
Aren't I? You know, but Santa Fe is such a beautiful, historic, and, you know, it started with the movie stars moving to Santa Fe. You know, that was a big thing. You know, I don't know, Julia Roberts and, well, she was later, but, you know, Carol Burnett, a whole bunch of them moved out there. And so then you had the other Californians come, and they definitely, but the native Santa Feans and the Mexicans absolutely hate Californians. And I know there's a lot of them good, but that's kind of what they do, and that's what they're going to do to these other states, too. It's in their blood, I guess. I don't know.
All agreed. Look what happened in Nevada and also in Arizona. I mean, you can't say that those people didn't bring their politics from California, especially in Arizona, when you vote for these left-wing liberals and these, right? I mean, there's no way Hobbs should have won that race. Neither should Mark Kelly.
You know, I wanted to ask you, did you hear about the other two train derailments that occurred?
Yes.
It was about a week after the one in East Palestine occurred. One was,
yes,
I believe, in Arizona, and in another one. And it just makes you wonder if that's part of the infrastructure, you know, attacks. And I think in East Palestine, I was reading, the chemicals they loaded up had just a little, not too far from where East Palestine was, but anybody could watch what was being loaded on that train. And then the train derails, you know, right at a town. You know, it just makes you wonder. And then I was watching a YouTube, I think it was filmed yesterday, and they went and they were showing people. It was local residents, and they said, they're telling us it's all okay here and everything. And they went down to, like, a creek bed, and they took a stick, and they ran it across, oh, maybe a half an inch, you know, into the creek or, you know, the edge of the river. And it bubbled up. This gas started bubbling up.
Ooh.
And that's how close to the surface it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope, and Biden's going there, right?
No, Trump is going tomorrow or Wednesday, Trump is going.
Well, I know Trump's going, but I thought Biden, after that, last night I read something about Biden planning on a trip about 3 days later. They were saying Trump inspired him to go. I don't know if he is or not, but I'd love him to give him a glass of that water. But the trouble is, he doesn't have enough brains up, you know, stairs to put the water to his lips like Obama. He'll chug it down. Which might be, you know, a blessing in disguise, but, you know, he would, wouldn't he?
Well, I hope he does the stunt. That would be good.
Well, you know,
but
Aaron Brockett,
he doesn't have the brains.
Yeah. Well, you know, Aaron Brockovich is getting involved in the East Palestine. You know who she is, don't you?
Yeah,
yes.
That movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since then, that's what she does. She handles real big, high-powered cases like that, and evidently she's starting to get involved. She has the resources to really do an in-depth investigation into this. So we might really, you know, learn a lot about what, you know, actually happened. But it's, and the fact that they set it afire. And I know you've heard, have you heard Camp Lejeune? And that you can now join a lawsuit. Camp Lejeune's
yes.
water was contaminated way back when. And all this, you know, years later, there's their families and, you know, people who are around there and everything. They're really sick, and so they're having to pay out a lot of money. But when they set those chemicals on fire, it released into the water source the same thing that had contaminated Camp Lejeune's water.
That's why I don't understand why it's called a controlled burn, you know? They sold it as a controlled burn.
You don't do that. You know, it's probably the cheaper and they thought the most expedient thing to do. And, you know, when you were talking about FEMA, why can FEMA, if you're so afraid, you know, FEMA can go in there and they can wear their hazmat, which they usually do. you know, they wear their hazmat suits and, you know, everything else to protect them. Why haven't they gone in there to aid these people in Palestine if they're worried, like you said, that it wasn't safe to go in there? Why didn't they go in there in their hazmat suits? Why? Because
well,
it would have been bad optics on the news.
Yeah, they're telling everybody, oh, drink the water, it's fine, you don't have to move, and then they come in their hazmats. You're right, it's all about optics. So they did nothing.
Yeah, and you know, that's what FEMA is supposed to do, is to go in, you know, they should be the ones bringing in the water and everything. And, you know, I bet you Trump would have done that. And, you know, all they have to say is, until we know for the safety of everyone, we're putting you first, and this is what we're going to do. That's not saying, you know, this is what it is, but, you know, you could do it, and people would probably, you know, say, oh, okay. But, you know, you get all of these agencies in there, and you get them testing and everything. But this is going to affect, especially, I wouldn't be surprised if that town doesn't have to be closed down at some point when we get a good leader, you know, president or whoever in there, and you get some people and some agencies who know what they're doing. When I saw that gas and the water just turn foul looking, when I saw that come up, and how long is it, 2 weeks or 3 weeks since it happened? You know, and that's still, you know, just barely underneath the surface. Can you just imagine? I mean, what do you do? You can't really get rid of it. You just have to wait. You know, in Aaron Brockovich, that's where the water did town. They just had to close the whole town down because once it's in the water source and it's seeped into the ground and everything, there's nothing you can do.
But, yeah, I know.
You know, pay money to Ukraine. And, oh, by the way, I really changed my opinion on Zelensky. What a crook.
What?
Anyway,
ooh. You gave me such a hard time over Zelensky.
I did. In the beginning, yes, I sure did. But then, and, you know, like I saw his wife and she's on the cover of Vogue and going out and, you know, buying expensive things and everything. Man, I you know, I'd like to see what some people, you know, in Ukraine have to say about that, but I haven't heard that. And, you know, most of my Russian vloggers, they were in Turkey. I haven't heard a word from them since. There's about five of them. None of them have I heard anything from since the earthquake.
Now, I wish I was wrong, but I wish that I was wrong about him, but
No, you're not.
He's not one of the good guys. Yeah.
Nope. You know, and but the guy he was running against wasn't one of the good guys either. They were in a no-win situation because the guy he was running against was a really well-known crook. This guy was, you know, not totally out in the open at that point. But for, you know, him and especially his wife, if they're to the point of they just don't care. You know, they really don't care. And then in Russia, they're emptying out their jails. The Russians are pretty upset. There's still some vloggers I follow, but they're worried. I mean, even the really bad criminals, they're letting them out. And if they fight, I think it's a year or two in the army and survive, then their records are like, you know, expunged. And it's not just political, you know, prisoners that they've got in prison. I mean, they're murderers and the worst of the worst. They're just basically opening up the prisons to get, you know, people to go fight. And so the Russians are like, what is it going to be here when they come back and they're back into our society? So it's getting to be a real mess all over the world. Anyway, that's it for me. It was a great show tonight. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And your voice sounds good. Sounds nice and strong. So glad to see you're feeling
better.
Yeah.
Well, it was better. I'm kind of going backwards. I'm off the antibiotic, but I'm hoping it'll, you know, kind of stay where it's at. But, yeah, I was really clear, and then a couple of days ago it started in again. But, anyway, I'm getting there, and he'll just put me on more antibiotics, I guess. But, yeah, I'm breathing and doing better.
Well, good. Welcome back.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
All right. Well,
all right. You guys have a nice evening.
All right. Good show, Vito.
Okay.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. I got to go.
All right.
Ciao.
Okay.